Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Russell. And I had told a couple of people that I was going to do something on the election. Since the big day is a couple of days away, 11-3-2020, Donald Trump wants to be president for 4 more years. So what can we say? I should have, there are a couple of people I should call and be interviewing, and I'll do that. Let's see if I can get one on air. Let's see, 406-802-2015. Maybe I can catch this young lady and talk about that for a minute or two. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Let's see if we can get her to talk about Donald Trump.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. This is the President of the United States. This is Donald Trump. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm 2 days away from being reelected as President of the United States, and I will. And after 4 more years,
with a landslide.
Yeah, and then I'm going to declare myself emperor for life like Napoleon did after that.
Good idea. That's a good plan.
How do you see things now that we disclose?
Oh, I think Trump will get in. You know, a friend of mine made an interesting statement just a couple of days ago. She said, he can't really lose because the hand of the Lord is on him.
Okay.
And I thought that was an interesting statement because, in a way, I think it's true. I think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that he is placed in the position he's in because history demands it. The human race demands it. And our survival demands it.
Okay. So you really don't believe, and you had said it once, I just want to reconfirm, that Biden and the Democratic Party can't address themselves to the pandemic, number one, coronavirus, number two, and to the devastation that has occurred, you know, with unemployment, underemployment, people being laid off, 20,000 shops being closed, businesses being closed, airlines being curtailed, because as I say, American Airlines will lay off like 20,000 people. United Airlines will lay off 37,000 people in the next couple of months. So downhill, downhill, downhill. So you don't believe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and that bunch can solve the problems of what's going to happen in terms of foreclosures, evictions, unemployment, underemployment, devastation in the economy. You don't think they can handle this? What's coming down the pike?
Well, how did we get here? We were getting rescued after many years of their type of policies, right? All through Obama and before, right? We'd already been taken to the bottom of the barrel. And Mr. Trump was pulling everything up. He's, you know, make America great again. He was making America great again. And I don't think that Mr. Trump can personally be blamed for the COVID issue, right? And I also think he's had the right attitude to that. And he's been bullied and badgered by the powers behind the scenes to create all the situations which have arisen as a result of COVID-19, and which in themselves are ridiculous. In fact, all this shutting everybody down all the time really hasn't made any difference because it's behaved like a virus. It came in, it's a devastating illness, it went away, it's back again, it will go away again, and it will come back again. And it, normally, before a virus gets itself, you might say, in a balanced way of behavior throughout the human species, as influenza did after the 1418 influenza epidemic, right? We're seeing the same kind of thing. Massive death, massive loss of life, a very virulent disease, which is fairly easy spread if you're in close contact, right? And we have been bullied into doing things which actually will make no difference in the long term, because we are still seeing the deaths, we are still seeing the chaos and the upheaval that the disease itself causes in people's lives. And it will take about 2 years of this disease coming and going seasonally, until the human race has developed its own some form of natural immunity, never mind the vaccines, just some form of natural immunity built into our system. And this is not the first of these viruses, and it certainly won't be the last. And they just keep happening. The problem is, right now, twofold as I see it. One, we have global communications, which we never had before. So it's easier to get everybody through their, you know, social media and their televisions and the different things that they interact with, their Facebooks and things. It's easier to terrify everybody all at once. If you imagined a world pre-internet, right, and then you had a disease like this breaking out in China, breaking out in Australia, breaking out in Europe, breaking out in America, hardly anybody would ever know about it, and we'd all go on about our business. And eventually somebody would realize, gee, quite a few people died in this situation, but it's done now. It's part of human behavior. Humanity interacts with viruses all the time. And you cannot tell me that COVID-19, despite the loss of life that we've seen, which is tragic, right, for all the families involved, I'm not saying it's not, but it cannot compare with things like the pneumonic plague epidemics in China at the beginning of the last century, or the polio outbreaks in the 1940s and immediately after World War II that were worldwide. Millions of people are still walking about crippled as a result of those polio things. So this is not a new thing to humanity. And yet they have made it as if it's never happened before, and they've used it as an excuse to get control of the world. Not just a few people here and there, but the entire world. Some group of people, it's what I said to you before, I would like to know who has who is powerful enough to make the telephone call that shuts down the world, one country after another, within days of one another. It should be terrifying to everybody, not the COVID-19 virus, but the actual political situation globally, because you are seeing the power of one world government, and somebody is behind the scenes running it, and okay, that should be terrifying to us. Now, with the Mr. Biden and his crew, do I think they can fix it? No, I don't think they can fix it in any other way than Mr. Trump or anybody else, because it's a disease. And whoever has to handle it is going to get blamed for it. It doesn't matter who it is. Whatever their policy is, it's not going to make any difference to COVID. The virus doesn't care. And I refuse to be living my life in fear of a virus. But we should be living our lives in fear of the control that it is allowing our politicians to have. And I think that if you put Mr. Biden, Miss Harris, and Miss Pelosi, and you look at that triad of power running your country, running our nation, that should be enough to really terrify us, because you can recover from a virus, right? But we will never recover if they were in control. Never. They will change our country forever.
How so? How so? I'm just curious.
Because,
how do you see that?
Because, well, first of all, their policies as a party have become extremely left-wing, extremely so. Everything they speak about wanting to do is an extreme version of socialism, which is not what the Constitution of the United States is about. Remember, America is a country designed for individuals. It's designed for people to have freedom. Above all else, freedom. Freedom to live the way you wish to live, freedom to pursue your religious beliefs the way you wish to pursue them, freedom to educate your children the way you wish to educate them, free to get the medical advice and help that you want, that you believe suits your family. These things are built into our Constitution, and these are the very things And more than that, we have the right to defend these structures by bearing arms. And the number one thing that they wish to take away from us is our right to protect ourselves by getting rid of the Second Amendment. The latest thing they're coming out with is now they want to increase the number of the Supreme Court so that they can get more people with the voting Democrats, left-wing people, liberal people, onto the Supreme Court. They want to increase the numbers. And that is a fundamental part of our Constitution, is the, you know, the executive body and so on and so forth. The Supreme Court is a balanced court that is not designed to have political bias anyway. It's designed to judge everything according to the law, and the Congress makes the law. So the laws that they want to make will change our life forever, and that's what is frightening to me. And then if you go even a bit further, look at who they're aligned with. The leaders of the Democratic Party are aligned with Big Pharma, the industrial military complex, and from all evidence that's coming out now, the secret alignment with the reptilian species, which aren't even humans, they're reptilians. And they are working in conjunction with the military complex, industrial military complex. And this is no longer a fantasy idea that some weird people are throwing out. There's all the documentary evidence being put out there by people like that Dr. Salah, whose book I spoke about before, where there are photocopies of documents signed by our leaders, making contracts and agreements with these people. And then again, if you look at the actual humans who are involved, many of them leading our industry are descendants or related directly to the Nazis at the end of World War II in Germany. Mm-hmm. They're the same people. So these are all tied in with the Democratic leaders, with the Hillary Clintons and the Pelosis of this world. They're all in the same boat. And it's not a boat that I want to be sailing in.
Mr. Trump,
I'm sure, has as many faults as you accuse him of. I'm not saying he is Mr. Perfect. I don't know enough about the man. And as a businessman, I'm sure he's done a lot of under-the-table deals in his life. You don't get as rich as he is without some wheeling and dealing. But here's the difference. All his wheeling and dealing in business has been done with his own money and putting his own money at risk. And he has never taken a penny of pay for being the president. He lives on his own income, not the president, not the money that the government pays him. Mm-hmm. Which was not true of the previous president, right? And this staff that he has is minute. I understand the first lady has a staff of something like 3 people to help her with all her duties, whereas the previous first lady, Michelle Obama, had something like 23 or 25 people on her payroll. And you know the old story, the more people you can get on the payroll, the more you can flush off for yourself. So there is corruption at all levels of government. And I'm sure there is corruption in all wealthy families, the worldwide. In fact, business in the world at large does not work without a degree of corruption. And I've lived and worked in third world country. I know how it works, right? And right. I know what backsheesh is and under the table payments and percentages off the top and finder's fees, you name it. There's always ways for somebody to get a backhander. The world runs like that, unfortunately. The whole world in that sense is corrupt, but not as corrupt as somebody who will stand there and tell you, I have been a public servant working in government for 40 years and it's the only thing I've ever done. But hey, magically on my salary, I have become a mega multimillionaire, because that's not how Trump got to be a millionaire. He got to be a millionaire through his own business. These other politicians, including the one you asked me about, Mr. Biden, and I don't watch all the news and read all the garbage that they say about them, because the six of one and half a dozen of the other, I'm sure. But I do know this. They are touting the fact that Mr. Biden has spent 40 years of his life devoted to public service on a government salary. Well, he didn't get to be a multimillionaire and have all that he has on a government salary. So the question is, where do they get it from? Where did Hillary and Bill Clinton get their millions from? Where did all these lifelong politicians get their money? Because it's like the detective stories, follow the money. And so okay. If you're looking for degrees of corruption, I would say that Trump's level of corruption is at 1% in comparison to the 100% of all these others. That's why I would rather trust Mr. Trump.
Okay.
With America's checkbook.
All right. It looks as if then the election a couple of days from now, well, it might not tally everything by Tuesday evening or Tuesday late evening or early Wednesday morning. But certainly with all the ballots coming in, the absentee ballots and all that, by the end of the week, we should know who the president is. Do you think so? It's not going to be known right away.
As I understand it, the main news outlets, you know, the ABC, NBC, the big news channels who follow the election on election day, they are intending to call it at the end of the day.
I forget which one it was.
It might have been NBC. But one of them made an announcement. They will call the election at the end of the day because it was about this confusion over ballots coming in after the day of the election, these mail-in ballots, if they were late. And whatever the court ruling was, it said, yes, they can still count these ballots, but some of them couldn't be counted for some reason or other. I didn't pay that much attention, but I do know one of the stations announced they would call it anyway at the end of the day. And so they should. You know, we shouldn't be sitting around with uncertainty about who our president is. We should know who the president is. And if they want to fight about it afterwards, let them.
Okay. Well, he now has more conservatives on the Supreme Court than it once was. So he has the balance of power then in his hand. And when we go back to Bush and Al Gore, that election, they took it to the Supreme Court and gave it to Gore. Remember that election? Do you remember
yes.
that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Why do you think the Supreme Court gave it to Bush, even though Gore had... George W.
Well, let me see, that's another one. And that was the only other one that I was ever so adamant about. And as soon as he announced that he was running for the presidency, I said to my late husband, that man is designed to be our new president. George W. Bush was a very special man in history. He was another one, and he was the third, counting, if I count Mr. Trump. The first one I know about was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was chosen by the hierarchy, a higher authority, if you like, a more spiritually advanced off-planetary authority. And Jimmy Carter was sent to this planet because, let's face it, the leader of America is the leader of the free world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Carter was chosen. And if you remember, that's when George got dragged into it, right? When they started using George and wanting him to work with them.
Right.
He was chosen to be a global peacemaker. That was his job. And it was, they said to me, if the American public do elect him for a second tour of office, we will have some world peace. He will resolve the Middle East problem and we will have the potential for world peace in going down the future. But if they don't accept him, And they may not, because he will create an economic disaster domestically. The economy will not be good, and they may not choose to re-elect him. And if they don't, then we're lining up for a third world war. Right? That's the first step moving us towards global future war. Then when it came to George W., they said about, and I'm talking about 50 years before any of this happened. This is what they told me at the time. They said, okay, then we will send a man. And they said, there is a dynasty where the flame burns. And it might not be seen to be so, but this man is going to be the leader. And it was George W. De Bush. And it was one occasion when they actually asked me to write a letter on their behalf. And they told him in the letter that he would be on the, this was the day he signed up to run. They wrote a letter to him and asked me to write it. And they said, you will be elected and you will get a second term of office. And his role was not to be a peacemaker. His role was to be the devil's advocate, meaning he was this stick sent to beat us with to try and get us to wake up and get some common sense, because that's what's lacking, is common sense. And, you know, they cautioned that there would be war and so on and so forth. So that's gone by the by, right? Humanity's had its chance to pick and choose the way it's chosen since, and it's chosen, you know, the crooked Clintons and the divisive Obamas and just all these different people. But we have a right to choose. You know, we have free will. And so finally they're saying, okay, we're running out of time here. We need somebody who cannot be bought. We need a man who cannot be bought. And that was how Mr. Trump was chosen, because he cannot be bought. And that is really, really extremely valuable. It doesn't mean that he will get everything right. It doesn't mean that all his resolutions and solutions will be perfect. But he has done some tremendously important things in the first 4 years, and we need to give him the next 4 years to complete his job. And perhaps the single biggest thing that stands out in my mind of what Mr. Trump has done is he has opened an American embassy in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how many people understand the importance of that, but that's, he's actually won the Third Crusade. Because, as you know, whoever rules Jerusalem is the premier force on this planet. And by Mr. Trump opening our embassy in Jerusalem and sticking a flag in the ground there that's got all the stars and stripes on it, right? He is letting the world know that America is the world leader. And all the other leaders, I'm sure, understand this. That's why there was such a hue and cry when he did it, right? But time will show, you know, if we look back in 200 years, that moment when he did that was the single most powerful moment in human history, almost, excluding global wars, in the last, 300 years since the last crusade. It was a phenomenally powerful thing, and nobody's given him credit for it. I think because most people don't understand the importance of it. But gosh, that is so, so important what he has done. And in addition to that, he's done all the other things he's done, which make it better for individual families and people living here in America, allowing us to keep all our choices and freedoms and everything else, but still having a reasonably well-managed country to live in with well-managed finances. No, Mr. Trump definitely gets my vote, without question.
We know that. And you see him being supported by the off-planet people. Is that what you think or no?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do. Okay. I think it will definitely have their support.
So the Galactic Command wants him in rather than Biden and Hillary and Pelosi.
Well, of course, anybody with an ounce of common sense or fiscal integrity is not going to want, they might not want Trump, but you know what? I have several friends who are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, have voted Democrat all their lives, and this time around, they're simply saying, we cannot in all conscience vote for Trump, but we're not going to vote at all.
Well,
because equally, they could they could not.
Wouldn't it be
it
a
is really.
For Trump?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, not really, but
it
certainly
is
not a vote. It's not a vote for Biden. You know, I mean, just look at the man and his history and just his politics. Even if you just base it on the things they vote for or don't vote for, and their friends and their associates and who they mix with and how they behave. When people can look at Nancy Pelosi haranguing people and making, how can people forget Obamacare when she stood there and here is a, 270-page bill, I think it was, and she stood up and told her the people in Congress, her people, just vote for it. You can read it later. What kind of leadership is that? Just vote for it. You can read it later.
Okay.
I mean, that's like saying they don't have any common sense. They don't. They must be, you know, if you're smart enough to read the bill, then we're afraid you won't vote for it. So vote for it anyway, and yeah, we'll let you read it later.
Yeah, I remember that statement.
How can you? How can anybody not remember it? Right.
Oh, well, here's another statement there. Donald Trump, your president, he's saying that...
Your president as well.
Okay. He's saying that he wants to replace Obamacare, but he hasn't come up with any plans. Why? After 4 years. He doesn't have an alternative.
Well, first of all, he hasn't come forward with an alternative.
No,
maybe he doesn't even intend to. I don't know what he's going to do with it. All I know is that the same people seem to have health care before Obamacare and the same number of uncovered people without insurance. It was 38 million and now it's about 40 million. In other words, there's virtually no difference. It's just a different group of people who became uninsured, right? There's no way that Obamacare resolve the issues, and Obamacare has some terrible, terrible iniquities in it. You know, I have a friend over in Coeur d'Alene. She used to work for me, and she works very hard. She's a single mother. She's raised several children on her own, and she works hard, earning enough money to pay all her bills, rent her home. She still is paying for some of her youngest children's teeth straightening, all these expenses that normal people have. And she goes out to work every day and makes just enough money to pay all these bills. But she discovered that she made about $200 a month on average, too much to qualify for whatever it is you qualify with Obamacare, even to cover her children, right? So she either has to make less money and not be able to pay her bills, or she ended up, and I know they changed the law, but when it first came out, she ended up with a $500 a month penalty for not being able to afford the insurance. Now, how ridiculous is that? That's what Obamacare did to a lot of people. She wasn't alone by any means. I mean, I'm lucked out because I'm too old for anything now, so none of it bothers me.
Okay.
You know, nothing is perfect. Nothing is ever perfect.
Okay.
I have a good friend in England who has good old National Health Service that I trained under as a registered nurse, right, where you get free health care. She complains all the time. Well, yes, she's got free health care, but now she has to wait 6 weeks for an appointment, right? Everybody complains about everything, no matter what they get or how they get it. And quite frankly, I think one of the best healthcare programs that we had outlined, I don't know how it would have worked. And I certainly don't like the person involved, but respect where it's due. Hillary Clinton outlined a healthcare program that was pretty much covered everybody in the nation when her husband was in his first term of office. Do you remember that? That and it was voted down. They wouldn't, at whatever stage it was in committee, they wouldn't proceed with it. They wouldn't discuss it any further. And that was her own party. And she did come out with a pretty good outline of a program for social medicine. I thought it was good anyway. And I'm pretty observant of those things because they interest me. Healthcare is the number one priority for me. I think it's disgraceful that we don't have it in America, that we don't take care of the sick. But
how about
I certainly...
Canadian health plan, how is that? How does that feel?
It really is pretty good. It works well simply because, you know what? If you take away the fear of a medical bill out of your whole life, your whole view of life is better and you don't seem to get so sick. I know that sounds stupid, but it's true. The single most important factor in developing most illnesses today is stress. And the biggest factor for stress is healthcare cost. That's what statistically they tell you. Cost of healthcare, number one, stress, and having to pay for it, right? And that stress causes disease. I would do one thing. Number one priority for me, if I had a say in it, if I had any say at all, I would immediately ban all advertising of medicines. Ban it. Just like they banned the advertising of alcohol, just like they banned the advertising of cigarettes, I would ban the advertising of medicines. Because our television is full of these stupid adverts. I remember when I came to America, there was a thing just come out called Claritin, right? And there were these adverts on television every hour or so of this lovely summery field with daisies and this woman in a floaty dress running around blowing daisies or something in the air, petals in the air, right? And it said, ask your doctor if Claritin is right for you.
Yes,
or words to that effect.
Yes, yeah.
That's all
it
said. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't for the life of me find out from anybody what Claritin was for. So all these people are running to the doctor saying, is Claritin right for me? Is Claritin right? Do I need Claritin? And then they need a whole bunch of tests to see if they need Claritin, right? Hopefully they've got a more sensible doctor who says, no, forget it. I mean, that it just puts ideas into people's minds. I cannot believe the amount of medicine that people take in this country on a daily basis. Things that are no good for them.
But the food is poison. You know, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, Burger King, KFC, all that's poison, right? There's no nutritional value to that. So it looks like the big farm is conspiring with the people who produce the food so that they can give them the medicine. It seems to be...
Yep. Right. Monsanto sprays the field, you eat the poisonous food, and the pharmaceutical company will provide you with the pills. Right? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you as a nurse, know that all medicines have side effects.
Right.
Can we say that? All of them. Okay.
That's reasonably accurate, yes.
Okay. So we are really in trouble. Very little nutritional value in what we eat. Then they put you on 20,000 pills a day, right? So you can stay feel halfway decent, right? And all of those side effects are still affecting one's lifestyle or comfort level, right?
Right.
So we're the bond. Because, and then in medical schools, there is no emphasis on nutrition and vitamins and minerals as we speak. They know how to write the prescriptions and cut on you, until you leave here, or radiate you.
Helping you, helping you on your way. Helping you on your way, definitely.
I want to go back to a couple of things, because I'm just going another 20 minutes. But when Donald Trump was making it up as hydrochloroquine or whatever it was, then he said you need to take drink Lysol. What was that all about? Just plain, just trying
to... Well, see, first of all, I think, you know, drinking Lysol, anybody knows you don't drink Lysol. Chloroquine, however, that's a whole different story. Now it's very hard to get. Before, you could just go and buy chloroquine. It contains quinine or quinine, and that is a very potent and relatively harmless medicine. For example, anybody with neuropathy in their legs, when you get neuropathy, you know, you can get some terrible cramping pains in your legs, and anybody who suffers from severe cramps, if you drink a couple of ounces of tonic water, which has chloroquine, which has quinine in, and you just do it, you know, once or twice a week, just a couple of ounces, that will eliminate 99% of the cramps out of your legs or wherever else you're getting them, because of the quinine. It's a powerful medicine. And it is very useful for a whole slew of things. When I was nursing in Indonesia, it was, you know, quinine was one of the few things that we could get hold of. And we treated a whole slew of things, giving the patients quinine, because it was available. So Trump wasn't wrong about that. Certainly, since COVID started, I've made it a regular habit to just drink a drop of tonic water every now and then as a preventative medicine, just to. But I also have the neuropathy, so it's good for the cramp in my legs anyway. But I have no problem with people using quinine. What bothers me is that you get such a mishmash of lies, misrepresentations, half truths put out there by people that you should be able to trust. And if you are not in the medical profession in any way, shape, or form, you have a tendency to believe them. And then you find out that they're lying. Suddenly, there's no one that you can trust anymore. Now, when this COVID thing first started, I, like everyone else, of course, believed in the ratio, the spread, the number of cases, and so on and so forth. And I would check on the CDC site on the internet and read what the CDC was saying. Well, it's some weeks ago, a month, and of course, they went into all this must wear a mask, must wear a mask. Well, we all know anybody who has any intelligence whatsoever can understand that the hole in an average fabric or double fabric or paper mask is like a fishing net to a fly when it comes to protecting you from inhaling viruses. There is nothing except a full biohazmat suit that can keep out a virus, right? If all you needed was a paper mask, why do you think all the doctors and nurses are garbed up to kill with their own oxygen tanks when they're treating these patients? So we're told how important this is, when in point of fact, it will not protect you. It won't make any difference. Or it will make very... It's only if somebody spits straight in your face, it might give you a modicum of reducing the number of viruses that actually get into your system. That's all it will do. So this whole masking thing is just another way of separating people and not being able to see whether people are smiling or frowning at you. To not be able to see another person smiling at you is a very depressing and depleting thing. And it's another way, in my opinion, of getting control of the emotions of people. We've now got physical control of them by locking them in their houses and driving them insane when they're maybe locked in a very tiny apartment in the middle of New York with four kids and the husband not working and everybody at home and locked in for 12 weeks, right? And then they get suicidal or mental or terrible things are happening to them, right? And it's doing no good. It's not making any difference, right? Because a virus is cyclical. It comes, it goes, it's come back again, and it will go again. So Mr. Trump is quite right about that. We are making far too much of this COVID. Now, on the actuality, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, there was a statement came out from the CDC that said they were all in agreement that masks were a waste of time. Less than a week later, the news came out, we're going to try and see if we can't make masks compulsory because this state is making them compulsory. Why are we bothering? CDC's already told us it's a waste of time. Except that last week, they changed their minds again and came out with a statement that said, oh yes, we should ask for everybody to wear a mask. In other words, they're saying one thing 1 week and another thing the next. Now, the most terrible thing is that every time you turn on a news channel about COVID on your internet or wherever, they show you the hospitals and the patients and the ventilators, and they're still wailing about the need for ventilators. And now they've got a big chart up that shows, I think it came out of John Hopkins or the Mayo Clinic, have made this big chart that shows how many ICU beds there are available in the United States and what percentage are free at the moment and so on. All scare tactics, when in fact, they actually know perfectly well, medically speaking, because a man has done the research and found the answer and published the work on it in the medical journals. So there's no way that they don't know that what kills you with the COVID is a peculiarity or a peculiar behavior of this virus, where it does something with the oxygen carbon dioxide balance in the body, right? It changes that balance, the result of which is that you don't know that your body is starved of oxygen when you get the disease. And by the time you do realize it, it's too late and your organs are already dying. And the worst thing you can do in that situation is put somebody on a ventilator. Apparently, okay, that's what's killing them. And they know this, but they're still using it as a scare tactic. Oh, we need ventilators, you need... So there are so many lies out there. So many. You don't have to be a conspiracy nut to recognize that, sorry, folks, the people you should be able to trust are lying to you. And why? Why would they be telling these lies? What's the point of them? And apparently, as the lies are being told by every government in every country on the whole planet, the only reasonable answer to the question of why is because they want to control you, and they want to control you at a global level, not just a national level. And that brings me back to the Democrat Party in its present state, with its huge number of extreme left-wing proponents. Those are the ones who are supporting the concept, like Bernie Sanders, of one world government. They're the New World Order people. They're the ones who want to hand over the free agency of the individual and the free agency of the nation to the melting pot of one world government. But they're not telling you who is going to rule it. Mm-hmm. And I think before we hand over our sovereignty to anybody, we should at least know who we're handing it over to. And my guess is that we're handing it over to the bankers who are sitting up there in Switzerland with all their friends, with the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati and all these people that we all know about. Because right now, in Switzerland, the five major world banks are preparing to go onto cryptocurrency.
I see.
They're already setting it up. And 2 months ago, About 2 months ago, our Congress passed a bill which now allows American banks to trade and hold cryptocurrency on its books.
Okay.
So
right.
Now they're setting up for it here. This is all part of the control of the individual.
So what happens to money that people have in the bank, but they're gone?
Well, what will happen is that you'll go to bed one Friday night with a nice fat bank account and your savings account well stocked for your old age, and you'll wake up on Monday or Tuesday morning after a long weekend and you'll find, oh, we've gone on to cryptocurrency over the weekend. By the way, your $500,000 is now worth 400 credits, and you can spend the credits at these establishments. And this is what the identification that you will need to spend these things with. And that, of course, is very likely to be when they get the permanent vaccine, and they reckon 80% of people vaccinated, and the vaccines had the nanobots in, and the nanobots let you use your thumbprint to identify yourself. And we all fall for it, you know? I mean, now I open my computer on my fingerprints. We all go in line.
So AI has taken over?
Oh, it's heading that way, yes. Unfortunately.
Hey, since we had the conspiracies, you know, with the trilateral commissioners and Bilderbergers and all the people who... Hasn't that been the family of 300 been in control of all of this ever since day one?
Yes.
So, okay.
Yes, yes.
So why now? What are they talking about, this one world government? It's a one world government anyway.
But so far it's been behind the scenes. And, you know, it's like if you imagine some benefactor who manages a family, some benefactor has a family, supposed benefactor, and he never sees his family. And there's the parents and the children and the grandchildren and the great, it's a big, big family, right? And they all have different careers and different jobs and different ways of doing things. And this benefactor has sat back knowing that at any minute he can change their lives any way he wants, but he's been satisfied to sit back and let them get on with it up till this point. But the point has now arrived when he says, okay, now I'm stepping forward and now I'm taking the reins and taking direct control. You think you've been owning your own home. You think you've been managing your own money and your own affairs and your own choices. Hmm. But actually, you haven't. And I'm coming in and I'm doing it for you from now on. And that's at the point. So what's happening is our illusions are being swept away as the actual truth is coming out. And more truth is coming out every single day. So this will have a happy ending, because evil does not win in the end. You know, Russ, we need to remember that this creator who created our world and our universe and everything that exists, this creator creates out of love, compassion, goodness, right? The creator will only allow so much destruction. And in this context, some of the extraterrestrials who are part of the same creation maybe work more closely with the creator than we do, right? Become the creator's tools to force us into certain behaviors, to certain things, or the creator can use natural events or whatever. But I know one thing. We will not be allowed to destroy the planet, and ultimately we will be able to survive as a race of beings. The human beings are highly valued in the universe for many reasons,
okay,
and they will survive, but there's a big clearing going on.
Of course. Well,
it's time people made up their mind which side they were on. Are they on the side of the good or the bad? Because, frankly, the really bad is looking pretty democratic to me.
Well, the good and the bad, it's really convoluted these days with most people.
Okay.
It's almost like situational ethics, if you will. And by that, they don't know what's good. They don't know what's bad. They don't know what's up. They don't know. It's like the blind leading the blind. Would you say that?
It is.
Like one giant.
Except. I would take issue with that. I would say that, yes, at the moment when everybody is reacting to everything that's happening and reacting chaotically, it is the blind leading the blind. But I don't subscribe to the idea that they don't know the difference, because every single soul knows right from wrong. And if everybody would just stop, just Absolutely. Whatever they are doing in the moment, just stop and step back and ask themselves, not the pundits on the television or the internet or the social media or their neighbors or their friends, but ask themselves, go within and say, what do I believe is the most right thing to do at this moment in America's history? What do I believe is the right thing to do for my country? It's like, you know, when John Kennedy said, ask not what the country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Well, yes. What you can do right now is think about everything that is going on and ask yourself, what do you believe is right?
All right.
And then go with that.
Let me ask once more in the next few minutes here we have. The human being, as the Galactic Command, as the Anunnaki, as we put the reptilians aside, the Nordics, the whatever, the blue avians, people from the Pleiades, they really want human beings to exist and to become, how can I say, directors of their own destiny. Is that right? Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
but all these off-planet people have their own agendas on how they want humans to do it, right?
Well, I think the reptilians have their own agenda, right?
Yes. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, all right. So you think that when you look at Dr. Salazar, when he talked about Anunnakis, when he talked about the Germans, and you read all that information and how they are part of the government,
yes,
and the infrastructure of this. Most of that is reptilian oriented, you think? Would you say that?
As I understand it from Dr. Salah's information, the reptilians are the Draconians who are residing under Antarctica and cooperating with the Fourth Reich, the remnants of the German Nazi Party.
Right. The other thing I was looking at the other day, and I just want to go over this briefly. Did you know that Trump's uncle, he was giving the missing papers of anything on the flying saucer and Tesla's papers? Here's the article. It says, President Donald Trump's uncle, John G. Trump, was professor of electrical engineering at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology from 1936 until 73.
Yeah.
And it was known that he had all the governments, when Tesla died, they gave him the papers. They turned everything over to him. And it's not really well known that there is also a leaked classified document that connects Professor Trump to the Roswell 47 crash. Have you seen anything on that? Did you know anything about that?
No, I don't know anything about that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. So when he left, I think he gave that information to Donald Trump.
He may well have done. And if he has, then there is hope for us still getting free energy.
Right.
You know,
that's,
I mean,
true.
Tesla definitely had free energy leaked, and there's maybe hope for us still getting it, because, and I know I'm saying this promoting Trump, but his interest is for America and the American people, not for his self interest and personal profit. So if he has stuff like that that could work for us, I'm sure it will come out.
Okay. Look, I want to step back a thing they said about 20 minutes ago. When he put the embassy, if you will, the American embassy in Tel Aviv, is that where he put it? Okay, fine.
Yeah, Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Many people are saying that because of that Balfour Agreement between the United States, France, and England, and they initiated that in 1948, so they gave the land to...
47. Yeah.
47, okay. So a lot of people say they didn't have a right to do that without the discussion of the Palestinian forces that were there, the people that were there, to give away their land. How do you view that conversation?
Oh, I would totally agree. The Balfour Papers were a disgrace. The white paper that Balfour came up with was a disgrace because it did. But I think we have to put it in context. First, after every major war, the victorious parties slice up the territory and divide it up the way they see fit. Every country in the world. I mean, the map I had when I went to high school as a child is nothing like the world map today. The countries that have changed hands and names, you know, change their names so often. So that always happens. And the idea of promoting it was that the Jewish people had suffered so terribly under the Holocaust, and they were now displaced persons, and they had nowhere to go. And so let's open Palestine for them. And remember, it was called Palestine. In my school Bible, it was Palestine, never Israel. Right?
Okay.
And the argument was that, well, God gave this land to the Jews, and now they've a right to it, the land of Israel. Well, actually, what God gave them, as far as I recall, is the Valley of Canaan, right?
I hear that.
That's a very small piece of ground compared to Israel. And I think, again, we're into corrupt politics. I certainly have no problem with the idea of Israel as a nation, you know, saying, okay, you can have this piece of territory. It's really no different to what happened with Ireland when it became Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, right? So now you've got Israel and Palestine, and you should have two states, really, a two-state solution. And it's a pity that they've never come to agreement on it. That's a great tragedy. But the bigger thing that I think nobody ever really talks about is that previous history, there were a large number of Jewish people who suffered in World War II and were killed and were moved, you remember, out of places like Poland with the big, great pogroms that occurred out of Russia and Poland and these countries before World War II. There were these giant pogroms that moved the Jewish people out of other countries. And one of them was out of the nation of Kazakhstan, the Khazarian nation. And most people who know the history know, and this is what maybe, I don't know, is it 800 years ago? But at the time, the leader of that nation was doing business in trade, massive trade business between his country and the Jewish traders coming out of the Middle East. And he was so impressed with their way of business that the story goes, he asked them, well, how do you run your business? And they said, well, we run it based on our spiritual beliefs, and this is what we believe. And the king was so impressed. He said, fine, I want to become a Jew. So he became a Jew. And in those days, whatever religion the king espoused or the queen, that was the religion of the nation. So the whole of the Kazakhstan nation, Khazarian nation, became Jews. But they were not descendant. They were not genetic Jews, right? The genetic Jews are the direct descendants of Abraham. And these were Europeans, actually. Russia was there, Kazakhstan was a Russian part of Russia. And so they were not genetically Jewish. But after World War II, they were grouped because they'd espoused the religion with the rest of the displaced Jews. And that's really the root of the problem, because if only the descendants of Abraham had been allowed into Israel, the numbers would be relatively small and easily absorbed in with the Arab people, so that there would have been no problem. But you had 100,000 or more coming out of Europe that were Jewish by religion, but not descendants of Abraham, not genetic Jews. And so when they flooded in, that's what caused the problem in Israel. Those thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people who really and truly based on the idea that the Jews should have Israel because God gave them the Valley of Canaan. Those people don't qualify. They really don't. I know it's not politic to say it, but that is the historic fact. And so even in Israel, they recognize the difference. They have the Jews, and then they have, I believe they call them Sabas. And these are the genetic descendants who were born in Israel, who were born in Palestine. They are the families that belong there and have a right to that nation. So it's a very complex problem. And you cannot go back and change history. That's why, you know, when people ask about, well, why this, why that? If something is done, then it's done, and we have to find a way to live with it. And it's because people can't find a way to live with things that were done hundreds of years ago that we have problems today. Much the same as we have our problems here in America from events of hundreds of years ago. But that's history. That's done. Let's move on. Let's see where we're at now and make it work from here. And that's what we have to do in the Middle East, because the Middle East is the center for the next world war. And we're right on the heels of it now.
So Trump is going to oversee the third world war, you think?
Well, I think it will be, by the time he's done his second 4 years, we will be on the brink of it if we're not already in it. Unless humanity really gets some common sense and starts using its God-given brains.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, we can always hope.
Well, this is a massive Jerry Springer show down here. Do you understand that?
Well,
it's a giant.
Not really.
Jerry Springer, you don't think so?
I don't know Jerry Springer, so I don't know.
Oh, you haven't watched
show? I don't watch it.
I mean, you should watch that so you know it. Okay. All right. But
I don't have television. I don't have television, so.
Oh, okay. They have the television show. They have dumbed it down to about the second grade level. So that's the Jerry Springer show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've dumbed everybody down to second grade level, I think. Seems to me that hardly anybody uses their God-given brains anymore. If they did, they wouldn't do the things they do.
How are things going to change for Ascension? Ascension is 4 years from now, 5 years at best. Yes?
Well,
what's going to happen?
First of all, you call it ascension. Nobody's ever heard me use that word because I don't know if we're ascending or descending.
Okay.
What do you call it? But I do not. I just call it the change in the cycle. I know we're coming to the end of a cycle and beginning a new one. And hopefully we will
24.
Do better in the new cycle. Mm.
And that's 2024, right?
2025. No, 2020. For me, it's the end of 25. I mean, a lot of people are saying that it's right now, this year. But for me, it's the end of 25. The cycle ends and the new one begins. And hopefully, we will move into a new cycle with at least better intentions than we have now. Because I find it very sad that nobody has good intention.
Okay. All right. I'm going back to Trump for the next 10 minutes, if I may. Every president that has taken office has paid and has demonstrated that they have paid taxes and turned the taxes in and let people see those things. But here's what Trump says about taxes.
Blacks, people wouldn't understand him. They're done by among the biggest and best law firms in the country. Same thing with the accounting firms. The accountants are a very, very large, powerful firm from the standpoint of respect, highly respected. Big firm, a great law firm, you know it very well. They do these things, they put them in. But people don't understand tax returns. Now, I did do a filing of over 100 pages, I believe, which is in the offices, and when people went and saw that filing and they saw the magnitude of it, they were very disappointed. And they saw the detail. You get far more from that. And I guess we filed that now 3 times. But you get far more from that than you could ever get from a tax return. But when you're under audit, and I'm under very continuous audit because there are so many companies, and it is a very big company, far bigger than you would even understand. But it's a great company, but it's big. and it's complex, and it's probably feet high. It's a very complex instrument, and I think that people wouldn't understand it. But if I were finished with the audit, I would have an open mind to it. I would say that, but I don't want to do it during the audit.
Okay, he's not going to tell the man anyway. He's not going to show those taxes. Do you not, you understand?
No,
that?
Why should he? And
why but everybody else.
Well, because you know what? Shakespeare has a wonderful saying.
Okay.
Methinks thou dost protest too much, right? Well, I think all this of these politicians out there, look at my tax returns, look at my tax returns. They're trying to convince us they're not lying, cheating crooks when they really are. And the ones who shout loudest are the biggest crooks, right? So anybody who knows anything about business would know perfectly well that Mr. Trump is speaking the truth, that when you have a very complex business with multiple corporations under one or two umbrellas or whatever his are run under, right, the corporate Trump, right? I am sure that he is under continuous audit. I am sure that one company or another is being audited. I am sure that some of them are, the books are perfect, and others, the books are not perfect, and that he is in a constant argument state with the IRS at one company level or another, because that is doing business. That's what happens. So I really don't have a problem. And there is no legal requirement for any president to disclose his taxes. So why should he do it if he doesn't have to? And the bigger question is, why do the others insist on waving their taxes about to show you how honest they are, when you know for a fact that they are filling the coffers by the back door? It's like, no, don't tell me that. I can see a lot of wrong with Mr. Trump that I would never agree with. His manners, for starters, would drive me crazy. But I also have to defend him to the nth degree, because as a businessman, I think he's about as honest as you will get. And I think he's 10 times more honest than your average politician.
Wait, let me jump on this one. It's considered by many people here in America that Trump is the most unpleasant character ever to hold the office of the presidency. They claim he's jealous and petty and greedy. He's unforgiving. He's a narcissist, vindictive. He's a homophobic, a racist, a serial liar, a serial predator, a psychopath, demagogue, a capricious bully. And they go on with all these adjectives. And what would you say to that? What would you say to that?
Well, I would say that about 80% of those are probably correct.
Okay.
He's a wonderful man. I could not tolerate, I don't think, 5 minutes in the same room as that man. What I am saying is that for America and for the protection of our freedom and our individual rights, he is the man that we need at this time in our history. And maybe it's just a sad reflection on us as a people that we are in need of such a character as that to keep us on track.
Yeah.
What does it say about us?
Well, it says a lot, because he will be reelected.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. But his mother says, have you heard what she said, his mother, Donald's mother?
No.
Okay. May I read it? It's very short. She says, yes, he's an idiot with zero common sense, no social skills, but he's my son.
Yes.
I just hope he never goes into politics. He would be a disaster, Marianne Trump.
Yeah. Right.
So she knew something, huh?
But look what a disaster he is. Everybody who knows him and follows him and goes to his Larry's, his, you know, meetings that he has, they all love him. They're all cheering for him.
Yeah,
I cheer for him. When I turn on my Roku and get one of the news channels with a Trump rally on, I sit here and cheer for him, because he is what we need at this time in our history.
And
we do not need any more corrupt politicians who are bought by Big Pharma and the military-industrial complex. We do not need any more extreme zealots of the socialist left-wing variety. We do not need that. We need to give America her strength, her put America back in a place of integrity and strength and leadership to head the rest of the world out into the future that is coming in a few short years.
Okay.
And if Mr. Trump is the man we need to do that, and I know he is, then I am certainly going to support him, whether I like him or not.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Well, Biden says this about Trump.
President Trump about white privilege and whether or not he benefited from it. And the president said, no, I don't feel that way at all, and sort of mocked Bob Woodward. Do you see ways that you've benefited from white privilege?
Sure, I've benefited just because I don't have to go through what my black brothers and sisters have had to go through.
Uh-huh. So
talk about... That's political garbage, right? That's political.
Okay.
What black brothers and sisters does Biden share his life with? How many black brothers and sisters does he invite to his summer home for their summer holidays, right? You know, we have a saying in Yorkshire, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, right?
True. Yeah.
And at least we know Mr. Trump's racial prejudice doesn't run to Europeans, because his wife's all Europeans, right? And I don't believe that he is a racist. I honestly don't. Because you see him in the company of people of a variety of nationalities, ethnic groups, and his demeanor with them is the same with all of them. He treats everybody the same.
I don't think
he's a racist.
I don't know. Anyway, but people accuse him. I'm not making any judgment. I'm saying people accuse him of being a racist, right? Of hating blacks.
But why? What has he done? What has he done?
The things that he says about the law and order. Listen to it.
Stop the radical left. We're going to build a future of safety and opportunity for Americans of every race, color, religion, and creed. Republicans are the party of liberty, equality, and justice for all. We are the party of Abraham Lincoln, and we are the party of law and order.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I'm sorry?
What happened then?
No. I'm saying he was commenting about law and order rather than...
Yeah.
And we have already... Okay. We already agreed that the people who are demonstrating Black Lives Matter, whomever, in the streets of America or around the world shouldn't be burning buildings, turning over cars, committing unspeakable...
That's right. Anybody agrees with that.
Right,
And I don't remember seeing any protest group, a peaceful protest group of marchers who were an entirely black party or an entirely white party. I found them to be mostly mixed groups.
Okay.
In other words, you don't just see one. But even that, you know, I want to say, into that, and I certainly agree with the value of peaceful process, peaceful protest,
sure.
Peaceful march and things, absolutely, that we have the right to express ourselves, and we should, right? But we shouldn't do it when it disrupts somebody else's life, because we don't have the right to interfere with anybody else's life, ever. That's a God-given rule, if you like, non-interference with the life stream of another. You don't have the right to make other people's choices, ever. So if this group want to protest and say, we don't like the way this is done, fine. But, you know, I feel the same as a person. I don't have any color bias, but I certainly have a bias against those people who protest in marching and creating mayhem outside abortion clinics. What right do those people have to tell somebody else whether they can have an abortion or not? That's an entirely medical and spiritual situation which belongs to the doctor and the patient, and mm-hmm. it's nobody else's business. So why do they have the right to think that they can disrupt that process? And there really is too much of this. We've got the idea that we can go out there and create mayhem for any opinion that we wish to enforce upon somebody else. And we don't have the right to do that. We absolutely don't. And in that same light, those people who are the Antifa people, or whatever they call themselves, that group, they don't have the right to go out and be screaming at other people, well, you have to do this. You know what? I have the right as an individual to like who I like and to dislike who I dislike. That is my choice, the same as it's your choice and everybody else's choice, right? Now, for instance, I will tell you that this is getting really to the root of this race thing, so you understand where I come from. Mm-hmm. If I could have Chinese neighbors or Indonesian neighbors that I could know and make friends with, I would absolutely love it, right? Because I love their food and I love their culture. And I would be very happy to participate in the same with Indian. I love Indian spice food. And the teachings of the Buddha have always interested me. So I would be very happy to live in a communion filled with those people. I would also be happy to live in a community filled with people from Iraq, because I love the food from the Middle East, and I've met some wonderful Iraqis who have treated me with nothing but kindness. And when all the fuss was going on in the Iraqi war, we forget that Baghdad itself has had a continuing university for over 1,000 years, and they are far better educated than your average American is. So we set these things aside when we choose to riot about something. I also had a very dear friend I nursed with, was a girl from Ghana, and she was the sweetest person, and she taught me a lot about their culture and the different things that they made, and I loved it. However, I did have the experience of living next to some people at one time in my life from Nigeria, and they cooked, I don't know what the food was, but it was their ethnic food, and it was so overpowering that I couldn't bear to live with them. With them near me, because the smell of the food was overwhelming. This is my choice, right? I can choose. Now, all this political correctness where you are not allowed to make choices anymore, this is so wrong, and it leads to so much trouble and confusion. You cannot mandate what people think. You don't have the right to mandate what people think. And if some people like one culture and not another, that's their right to choose. I tend to remind people that although we have the right to choose based on our present level of information and experience, we should not make judgments or condemn that which we don't like, because the odds are that reincarnation being a truth of universal life, whether we believe it or not, you'll find out when you're dead. Reincarnation is the reality. And in fact, we have all, almost, being every color and race that exists on the planet at one time or another in our history. So we should never judge other people, but we can make personal choices about what we want in our life. And nobody really has the right to tell us otherwise.
Okay. Well, I think we come into the close. But Trump says he's not a racist. Have you heard it? Have you heard him say that?
Yes, I have. And I don't think he is. I don't think he's a racist.
Here's what he says. Listen.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy. These sinister ideologies must be defeated. Hate has no place in America. We must shine light on the dark recesses of the internet and stop mass murders before they start. The internet, likewise, is used for human trafficking, illegal drug distribution, and so many other heinous crimes. The perils of the internet and social media cannot be ignored, and they will not be ignored. As an example, the monster in the Parkland High School in Florida had many red flags against him, and yet nobody took decisive action. Nobody did anything. Why not? Second, we must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. And we always will win. The choice is ours and ours alone. It is not up to mentally ill monsters. It is up to us. If we are able to pass great legislation after all of these years, we will ensure that those who were attacked will not have died in vain. May God bless the memory of those who perished in Toledo. May God protect them.
Okay. So that's Trump. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want you.
And I don't disagree with anything that he said there.
But
and
no,
I certainly don't know why that makes him a racist. And an interesting thing, you know, we might remember, he himself said, you know, we have to get away from white supremacy. Let us remember that white people are no longer having a supremacy in the United States. We're the minority. Okay. I'm a white person. Well, I'm not white. Nobody is white. We're pink or whatever color we are, right? I'm not a person of color, let's put it that way. But I'm a minority.
All right. So
I don't know why they're all yelling about, you know, they're the minority. They're not. The people of color are the majority in the United States today, in the world.
Well, we have 2 days, and I'll talk to you after the vote is in. How's that?
Well, yes, and I will be hoping and praying that everybody comes to their senses and at least doesn't vote for the wrong person.
Okay. But as you see it now, Trump will be in for the next 4 years. Is that, that's how you see things, right? Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It will be a major shock to my system if he's not.
Okay. I got you. All right. Thank you very much for being here to voice your opinion before the big election. And I'll talk to you after the election. How's that?
Thank you. And thank you for letting me say what I like. I appreciate it because there are so few places where we can honestly express our opinion today without being in trouble for it. So I appreciate that you let me say what I really think.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
No question about it. And you have a good one. I really appreciate you taking time out of a busy day to help us a lot, you know, to see things a little bit differently. And thank you. Appreciate it. Okay?
Thank you. And God bless us all, whatever color we are, because we need it right now.
Yeah, we need some help.
We do.
Okay,
we do.
You have a good one now. Talk to you later.
Commander-in-Chief, it's more than just a job. Since taking office, President Donald Trump has rebuilt our military, repaired a broken VA, and eliminated Soleimani, al-Baghdadi, ISIS, the world's deadliest terrorists brought to justice. Today, America is safer and stronger than ever. Because to President Trump, it's more than just a job. It's a sworn duty to keep America safe.
And in closing, Barack Obama says,
they remind me in the words of Scripture that ours is a future filled with hope. And if you share that faith with me, if you share that hope with me, I ask you tonight for your vote. If you reject the notion that this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election. If you believe that new plants and factories can dot our landscape, that new energy can power our future, that new schools can provide ladders of opportunity to this nation of dreamers, If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, then I need you to vote this November. Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes. But we keep our eyes fixed on that distant horizon, knowing that Providence is with us and that we are surely blessed to be citizens of the greatest nation on earth. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless these United States.
Okay, this is a program by Blog Talk Radio. This is going to be archived. See you next week. Things are simple. On the Voice of Black Wall Street.